too, also want to say, just a little bit after the preaching, we will have time around the altar for anyone that needs anything from God. I know some may slip out, and we understand schedules are busy and all of that, but we would love for everyone that can to pray with us for miracles to happen, healing, whatever the case may be. Jesus answers prayer. Amen. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 13, 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 13, this is what the Bible says about God. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. What an awesome God. What I believe or don't believe doesn't impact who he is. He's an awesome God. And I know this is going to be a play on words that is a shameless attempt to plug the marriage seminar again. This is not about marriage, but I want to preach some are loving and some are not. Some are loving, some are not. So hopefully you'll hear from God. If not, you might at least remember what we were talking about. Let's ask the Lord to have his way here. Lord Jesus, we want to do more than just make noise and take up time. God bless you. You may be seated. When I see the title, Summer Loving, I am reminded that summer love and summer romance, that's the stuff that books are written about. Probably movies, certainly songs. I don't have a lot of advice for our young people on this subject, only that a wise sage told me that with youth camps coming, you never want to be interested in a girl from your church at the beginning of summer so you could keep your options open. I don't know that that's a word from God. I'm just telling you that displays my limited expertise on this subject. And I had thought about singing some songs about summer loving, but most of you would leave as soon as I started. That's amore. So I'm not going to sing that. But some are loving and some are not. And there's songs written about that as well. You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. My mother is here. She wouldn't let me listen to music like that. But one song says, that's my girl and that's my world, but that ain't my truck. So some are loving and some are not. But the reality is this, besides promoting a marriage seminar that would be well worth my time to attend, there is something about summer that does give us opportunity to reevaluate our relationship, chiefly with Jesus Christ. I'll take our young people in particular, and I'm not going to bust on them, but their schedule is a little bit different during the summer. And so I would just say, try to find a way to get more of Jesus into your summer. For a lot of us, maybe not everyone, but there may even be vacations during the summer. How about if we make a commitment at the beginning of summer that we're not going to take a vacation from Jesus this summer? But whatever our plans might be, we're going to include Jesus. Because we love him and we want him to be the center of everything that's in our life. So some are loving because I'm going to be loving Jesus, even though my schedule may be different, even though some things may be opened up, opportunities to rest and relax. I don't need a rest from Jesus Christ. A lot of people that think about the summer, they think about the need to get away. But As far as that goes, that's awesome if you can afford it and your schedule allows it, but you never need to get away from Jesus. We say some are loving, some are not, because some people get so caught up in their own plans that Jesus gets kind of left at church the Sunday before vacation, and then we're off, and then we wonder why we're so frustrated. Because you can go anywhere, and if you go without God, something's going to be missing that no attraction can satisfy, no destination can satisfy. Come on, summer loving is a great time to love Jesus. In fact, the Bible says this, Psalm 16, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." That ought to make somebody shout amen. If you can't afford to go to Europe or Hawaii, just get in the prayer room. Man, I'd love to take my kids to the amusement park, but we're broke. Well, get in the presence of the Lord. I know that sounds crazy, and I know that there's more to us than just the spiritual aspect, but let's not compartmentalize the relationship we have with Jesus as though that's just what we do on Sunday or that's just what we do during Wednesday night Bible study. Every day with Jesus, we can get in his presence, and in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Mark chapter 1, Jesus taught us how to get away from it all. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, Jesus went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed." Luke 6 and 12, speaking of Jesus, "It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." If you are the head of your household, and you have planned anything this summer as a blessing and a benefit to your family, thank God that you've got the resources to do that. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your family. But as you are planning, can you look to those two passages? Make a note of Mark 1 and Luke 6 and say, "Jesus, help me as the head of my household to plan some way during this summer that my family's going to get away where it's just us and Jesus. We may not even leave the house, but we're going to do something that just accelerates our connection with Jesus." That is good preaching right there. And if nobody else needs to hear it, I need to hear it. Because life pulls at us and presses us. And sometimes we think, if I could just get away from it all. But you know what? Sometimes what we need to do is get away from everything else, but get connected with Jesus, because some are loving and some are not. And if I could spend more time with Jesus. Amen. How many of you still believe that he gives power to them that are faint and to them that have no might? He increases strength. Anybody ever been so disgusted with your job that you just thought, I cannot take it anymore? Anybody been so full of the cares of life that you just thought, man, I just need a break? Can I tell you, it's great to get away, but don't ever forget, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I know what it's like to be refreshed from a vacation, and I thank God for it, but I also know what it's like to be refreshed from a time of prayer where the presence of God restores my soul. And I'm just saying, hey, everybody, have a great summer. But while some are loving, some are not, you be one of those that are loving Jesus. You be one of those that are praying. You be one of those that are worshiping. You be one of those that are getting closer to God. Oh, let's clap our hands as if to say, I want more of Jesus. Praise God. Some are loving, but some are not. Some are staying close to Jesus. Some are praying every day. Some are loving Jesus. And so I want to make a decision at the beginning of the summer. I want more of Him. Amen. I don't want to limit the blessings of the Lord and the favor of God upon this church family to some distant date in the future. I believe every time we get together, supernatural things are happening, and I thank God for it. But at the end of the summer, August 26th, you'll hear more about it. We're going to have a weekend with Charles Robinette, a missionary that's been mightily used of God. He's seen miracles and many people filled with the Holy Ghost. We're believing on that one Sunday that 50 are going to receive the Holy Ghost for the very first time. But let me tell you something, if that's going to happen sometime between now and then, somebody's going to have to be loving Jesus. Somebody's going to have to be praying and fasting and seeking God. And I know there'll be some things we do as a church to reach out to people and let people know, but what if you make a commitment at the beginning of your summer, right now, between now and the end of the summer, I'm going to identify somebody in my circle that doesn't have the Holy Ghost, that's never been filled with the Spirit of God, and I'm going to be on a campaign to love them and to reach them and to teach them so that when they come here on that last Sunday of the summer, they will be ready to receive the greatest gift that anybody can receive, and that is Jesus Christ inside of every single one of us. Amen. So I'm saying some are loving and some are not. Some will waste away their summer just focused on their own hobbies, their own travel, and their own enjoyment. Some don't have those potentials, and so they'll just be sucked up by life and the cares and the job and the kids. But somebody's going to be loving Jesus. Somebody's going to be praying. Somebody's going to be reaching for someone that needs God. And I'm saying if some are loving, I want to be some of those that are loving. I don't want to be listed with those that are not. Can you say amen? Amen? Let's take a moment and just cover that with prayer right now. If you're a leader in this church, would you stand and raise your hands as if to say, I surrender to the direction we have just received from our pastor. If you serve in ministry, or if you know you're a part of the core of this church, would you stand and raise your hands and say, God, I don't know what that's going to look like for anybody else. I'm not quite sure I know what that's going to look like for me, but I'm going to invest my summer somehow, some way into preparing for a Holy Ghost outpouring. I'm going to prepare my family for more of Jesus this summer. I'm not sure exactly what steps we'll take, but God, I commit before you and before this company that I'm going to do more than just hear a message about loving you and serving you. I'm going to ramp it up. I'm going to elevate my game. I'm going to move forward in the will of God. Can you say in Jesus' name? Some are loving, but some are not. Some are having revival. Some are reaching lost people. Some are trusting God for miracles. And what do you say? We just have a summer of miracles. What do you say? We just have a summer of revival. What do you say? We just have a summer of Jesus being the center of our lives. Amen. I speak this way today because sometimes our human nature is wired that even though we kind of do good things day in and day out, 24/7, we serve God, we can kind of get into a routine or get into some sort of rut, if you will. But what if we have a special season of revival, a special season of harvest? Then we can focus just a little bit more clearly on what the Lord might do for His church. I'm thankful for every blessing day in and day out and service after service. But is there anybody that feels something in their soul that says, you know what? There's more for us. There's more of an outpouring. There's more of a supernatural. You know, you might be sitting here today and saying, you know, Pastor, that all preach is good, but I don't really feel that. I don't feel it the way it seems you feel it. Well, I guarantee you, some are loving, some are not. If you'll get in the place of prayer that you call your prayer closet and you'll say, God, stir up in my soul
soul, a burden for revival, a burden for soul. You won't be able to help it, but when this kind of preaching goes forth, you'll be the first one on your feet saying, amen. We got to have revival. We got to move forward. We got to reach soul. Amen. Amen. Hey, we can be honest with each other, right? When it doesn't motivate us, it's really just a signal. Some are loving, some are not. Some are going through the motions, some are not. Leaders, would you one more time stand and raise your hands and say, oh God, I'm asking you to build a fire in my soul until I am baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, until I am baptized with a fresh revelation that you want to do something inside of me that changes the destiny of my life and my family. Oh, can you shout amen?
Amen.
Praise God. You may be seated. Human nature as it is, if not for you, certainly for me, perhaps for most of us, it can almost seem seasonal. Sometimes we're hot. Sometimes we're not. Sometimes we're in tune. Other times we're out of tune. Sometimes we're ready. Other times, we've got it on cruise control. And so we have to recognize some are loving, some are not. We can all be distracted. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And we need to discover the danger of distraction. Distraction can lead to doubt. Distraction doesn't make you a horrible sinner. Distraction doesn't make you a horrible Christian. But if distraction is not dealt with, distraction can lead to doubt, and doubt can be dangerous. For instance, if I'm so distracted I don't pray, then I start thinking, well, maybe it doesn't matter if I do pray. If I get so distracted I don't make it to church, then I start thinking, well, maybe it doesn't matter whether I even get to church. Amen.
Amen.
I know people that they started missing Wednesday nights. Now they don't even think about missing Wednesday nights. It's not even on the radar. Oh, well, we missed another one. That doesn't make them evil people, but it demonstrates the danger of distraction. Distraction leads to doubt, and then you start doubting if it even really matters. Come on, if you get distracted to where you stop reading your Bible, you start doubting whether or not anything's hurting because you're missing it. Some are loving, some are not. And so here at the beginning of the summer, I can say, Jesus, I don't want my distraction to turn to doubt. I need prayer. I need the Word of God. I need the house of God. And so thank you, Pastor, for preaching to me on this Sunday, because some are loving and some are not. And I want to be one of those that are loving. Praise God. Amen. Here's where it gets really, really, really uncomfortable. Because when distraction leads to doubt, it ultimately can lead to denial. Let me explain. 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. So what's happening there? Well, if we die with him, if we die daily, we overcome distraction. If we die daily, we overcome distraction.
we have a focus and a confidence in God that this world is not my home. I'm going to be with Jesus soon and very soon. So what happens? There may be some suffering. There may be some struggles. But when I'm suffering with Him. I'm walking with Him. When there's disappointments, I'm linked up with Him. And so if I suffer with Him, I will reign with Him. In other words, no matter what I go through on this planet, He's just getting me ready for that world. Whatever I go through in this life, He's just getting me ready for eternity with Him. And so if I die daily, if I die with Him, I will live with Him. If I suffer with Him, I will reign with Him. But if I deny Him, He will deny us. If I get so distracted and then I start doubting, for instance, just one example, I'm not praying the way I need to pray, then I start doubting whether it matters, but then I deny it. What do you mean? Hey, don't talk about my prayer life. I got to walk with God. Don't you mess with me. And then when I deny it, I start to get this hardness. Well, listen, nobody's going to tell me I'm supposed to pray. Nobody's going to tell me I'm supposed to get alone. You know what's going to happen? If I start to deny, then I get so hard and so cold that He can't reach me with conviction, so that I find an altar and say, oh God, you've got to help me. I started getting distracted and it was leading me down a road where all of a sudden I was doubting whether it mattered, and now I'm actually at the point where I could even be denying you. Come on, don't ever let it get that way. When you get distracted, let there be something in your spirit that says, oh God, right now I'm asking you to help me. I want to make sure that whatever it is that's distracting me doesn't keep me from what you have for me. Praise God. What I love about this kind of preaching is that passage does not end there, because if it ended there, I believe I might be very concerned. But look at what the next verse says. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. If we deny Him, He will deny us. But if there is ever just an even little bit of a crack in the window, or a little bit of a crack in the armor, if there can be just even the tiniest bit of me coming to Jesus and saying, wait a minute, I know I was distracted, I know I was doubting, but now, God, I recognize I need you. I've still got distractions, I've still got doubt, but I'm not going to deny. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. The Bible says, even if we believe not, He abides faithful. In other words, I may have been so distracted that I stopped praying, but because I know I need prayer, He's going to answer my prayer. Amen. God is not seasonal. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We say summer loving, summer not, because that's how people are, but that's not how God is. If I deny Him, if I reach the point where I act as though I don't need Him, then He won't be able to reach me. But the moment I come to Him with my distractions and my doubts, and I say, God, I'm not even sure this is going to work, but if you can help me, here I am. God is faithful. He loves when you think nobody loves. He can help when you think nobody would help. Praise God. Because He cannot deny Himself. In other words, it is in God's nature to help us. It is part of God's divine character to forgive us. It is part of God's makeup to love us. So you bring all your distractions
and all your doubt. And as long as there's just a little bit of honesty left, I need thee, oh, I need thee. God is faithful. In the face of where you've been unfaithful, in the face where maybe I haven't been what I should be, God is faithful, and he cannot deny himself. And so if I've been so distracted that it's led to doubt, and I'm on the verge of denial, but I can say, wait a minute, there's another altar call. There's another opportunity for me to say, Jesus, I'm not sure you can help me get a better prayer life. I'm not sure you can help me get more committed to your word, but here I am, and I'm saying, Jesus, with all my doubts, I need you. At that moment, God cannot deny himself. He is a God that restores. He is a God that saves. He is a God that rescues. And no distraction, no doubt can keep him. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody here glad that God don't go on vacation? Amen. Anybody here glad that God don't have to get away from it all? Amen. I know I've come to God sometimes thinking, oh boy, this is, you want to hear this again? Come on. Here I go again, God. I'm glad he's not like us. Oh, not again. Come on, anytime. Does your phone ever ring and you let it go to voicemail? I thought I was the only one. Aren't you glad God's not that way? It's in God's very nature to look for anybody with just even a little sliver of desire for him. So even if the distractions are mounting up and the doubt is taking over, as long as you don't deny him, as long as you don't get so jaded that you don't want his help, you don't want his presence, you don't want his touch, the minute you make one little inkling towards him, the floodgates open wide and the blessing and the favor of God is there. And the love of God is there, because God doesn't go on vacation. God doesn't have it up to here, but he needs to know of our need for him. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And so here's the deal. Maybe you've been on vacation from the Lord since last Sunday or last summer or most of your life. Maybe you've been disconnected from God because of some distractions that led to some doubts, until you thought, well, maybe Easter and Christmas, but I don't think any of that even matters anyway. But guess what? You're here today. You're here today. And if there is just enough desire for God to say, Jesus, I can't make excuses for the past, but I need you. I've got a situation in my family. I'm surprised I even made it to church today, but I'm here, God. I need you. It's in God's nature. Maybe you would have doubted him, but he cannot deny himself. Maybe you have drifted from him, but he cannot deny himself. I know I've made a big plug about the marriage seminar. I think it would help any marriage, but you know what else would help a marriage is when a couple says, you know, I know we've got plans for the rest of the day, but before we do anything else, when everybody comes up to the altar, we're going to go up to the altar and we're going to pray, God, we want your blessing upon our marriage. I know of marriages that were over. I know of marriages that it looked like those two people were never going to be able to reconcile. But just the presence of God, just the grace of God, just the mercy of God. You know why? Because it's the will of God for every life to be restored. It's the will of God for love to blossom in every family. It's the will of God for every marriage to be strong. And so maybe there are distractions and maybe there are doubts, but if you can say, Jesus, I need you, even though I haven't been praying, Jesus, I need you, even though I feel like giving up, Jesus, I need you. Just that little burst of desire from you for God is enough for God to bless and heal and save and rescue. Praise God. Praise God. I feel like today God wants to burst upon the scene of somebody's distraction and doubt and say, before you deny me, let me love you through this trial. Let me love you through the storm. Let me love you through the chaos in your life. Is there anybody that would raise their hands, if not for you, for somebody else, and say, Jesus, let that love flow in this house today. Jesus, let that love flow in this house today. Wherever there are distractions, wherever there are doubts, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel like God is reaching for someone that can relate to that man in the Bible that came to Jesus with a boy that had been so vexed with the devil that he would literally throw himself in the fire. He would try to self-destruct because he was so overwhelmed with evil. And this poor daddy had become so distracted by this horrible chaos in his own family that when he finally made it to Jesus, he cried out, Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. Yes, that's it. Yes. And because God cannot deny himself, because God is faithful no matter what the circumstances. I'm at a point right now where I have seen enough of you precious people live through tragedies and sometimes scratch my head and say, God, were you on vacation? You know, I've had to repent over that, because now I'm starting to realize no matter what kind of chaos you go through, no matter what kind of hell we face, God is faithful. It is in his very nature to bless his people. It is in his very nature to help his people. And so if he does the miracle here, he's a great God. If he does the miracle there, he's a great God. But whatever the case, he cannot deny himself. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. He wants to love you. He wants to heal you. And I have watched people go through things that I would think quietly, I could never go through that, only to discover that God cannot deny himself. And in that situation, God, in his own way, in a way that none of us could calculate or figure out, he was doing what was best, because it was in his very nature to bless that very person that was going through that tragedy. It was in God's nature to do the best that they would need him to do. And so whatever he did, it was because he knows what's best. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. And I don't want to speak to any situation in this building, because that would not be fair. But I could think of situations out of this building. I could think of individuals where when God moved in such a particular way, something about the process led that person to a deeper walk with God, to a closeness to the Lord, to a revelation of his love. I'm not sure if that's the way that I would have ever chosen for them to learn that and receive that, but who am I to question God? All I know is that whether we believe or not, if we've just got a desire, God, whatever you can do, have your way in my life. God is faithful. He cannot deny his very nature to love and to bless his people. Anybody raise a hand right now and say, you know what? I receive that. I receive that for my life. I receive that for my family. I receive that for my circumstance. As the musicians come, is there anybody in this building that can use your voice right now to say, in the name of Jesus, my God is faithful when I'm not faithful. In the name of Jesus, my God answers prayer. My God does miracles even when I've got doubt and distraction in my life. He's an awesome God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, a young man become so full of distractions. So full of distractions that he begins to doubt whether his father could ever love him. He has wasted his life. He's been the opposite of everything a good son could be. And he says, I'm not even worthy to be called a son. All those distractions created so much doubt. But thank God, he did not reach the place of denial. Well, I don't even need God. I ain't even going back to church. Thank God. With all the distractions and with all the doubt, he said, you know what? If I could just get in his presence, if I could just get in his presence, I got nothing to offer him. I've got nothing to say for how I've lived. But if I could just get back to my Father. And because God cannot deny himself, when that boy come walking up the road, Daddy went off running after him. Because that boy was filled with distractions and filled with doubt. But God cannot deny himself. Whenever a boy starts coming my way, I'm going to run to him. I'm going to reach for him. He said to the servant, you go get that fatted calf. It's amazing. He didn't have to tell the servant, go to the stalls and where all the cows are, you find the one that's the best. Oh no, all the servants knew. Every day Daddy's been going to that one stall. He's been feeding that calf over and over again, sometimes by himself. He's saying, you better eat up the calf because my boy's coming home. And when my boy comes home, it don't matter how much he's been distracted. It don't matter how much doubt he's had. As long as he won't deny that I'm his father, I'm going to bless him. I'm going to give him a new robe. I'm going to give him a new ring. I'm preaching for somebody's soul today. I'm preaching for somebody's soul today. You've been distracted and you've had doubts, but you know he's still your God. You know this is still your church. And I beg you today, if you would say, Jesus, I need you, God will not deny you. Because he cannot deny himself. Would you stand with me right now? With every eye closed, every head bowed, I'm reaching for a marriage right now. And I'm saying to that husband and wife, God is ready to rescue your marriage. I'm reaching for a backslider today, and I'm saying God is ready to rescue your ministry. I'm reaching for someone that you're even surprised you're in church today, but even with your surprise, you know there's a God. And I'm reaching for you, sir, because on this particular Sunday, God knew you would be here, and he sent me with a word for you. If you can just express your need for him, he will bless you. I'm reaching for you, sweetheart. I know it's hard to even believe in God. But if you'd be willing to say, if there is a God, let me feel your presence right now. I promise you, even with your disbelief, even with your doubt, if you're willing to call on the name of Jesus, you will feel fire from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. You will feel a river stir up in your soul, but it's not going to happen unless you are willing to say, Jesus, I'm not going to deny you. I'm going to confess that at least I know if you're here and if you're real, you can help me now. Church right now, all over this building, would you intercede for God to reach for somebody right now? Come on, if you got the Holy Ghost, would you intercede right now for God to reach for somebody right now? You don't have to know their situation. You don't have to know their name, but reach for someone, God, that's been distracted. Reach for someone, God, that's been filled with doubt. Reach for someone, God, that's gone through so much heartache and chaos that even now they wonder if you can even help them. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Now everybody just start coming to the altar. Everybody just start coming to the altar. And as you come, would you just say, here I am, Jesus. If you're real, give me what I need today. Jesus, here I am, Lord. Whatever you have for me, I want it today. Come on, everybody come. Everybody come. Everybody come. Please, everybody come to the altar. Everybody come to the altar. Everybody come to the altar and say, God, I don't want to be distracted from my miracle. I don't want to be distracted from my miracle. Come on, everybody come. Everybody come. Everybody come to the altar, because God cannot deny himself. And if you want a blessing, if you will reach out to him, he will reach out to you. Come on, everybody come. Everybody come. Everybody come and say, God, would you run to me? Would you run to me, Lord? Would you run to me, Lord? Come on, prayer warriors, would you help us right now? Come on, prayer warriors, would you help us right now? Come on, would you be used of the Holy Ghost right now? Come on, if you've got the Holy Ghost. Oh, I wish you'd come. I wish you'd come. I wish you'd come. I wish you'd come. I wish you'd come, as if to say, I know even with my distractions, even with my doubts, I cannot deny him. I cannot deny him.